Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Hi.
Hi, YouTube. It is the Brandon Walker College.
It's unnecessary roughness. Subscribe, like, comment, share, turn on your notifications. We're coming at you a little bit later. Why, Brandon Walker?
The college football playoff, and it is hot.
It is hot. It is stupid in some ways.
It's controversial.
It's controversial. We love it. We go through everything. We talk about strippers and monkeys. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute blast.
And strippers, monkeys.
And facts. If you're in the chat right now and you're not liking the video, we don't like you.
Relax.
Enjoy the show.
I'm not going to lie. I don't really want a cold open or any flowery conversation tonight because this is all about what we just saw on TV. Let's just start the podcast and get right into it.
It's You're recording, right?
Yeah, I'm recording.
I mean, you know exactly what you were just doing.
What?
What was I doing?
You were doing a cold open.
Right, but I was saying I don't want a cold open. That was it. That was going to be it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to do a cold open?
No, it's too late. We already did one.
We just had
Let's not do one. Okay.
That was the cold open.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness. I feel like that playoff reveal, based on what I thought it was going to be going in, was a little rough.
I knew where you were going with that.
Rough.
That was a Phil Dunphy joke. Good for you.
I don't know who that is, but
that was rough.
Yes, he was on Married with Children?
Modern Family.
Same thing.
He does all the dad jokes.
Does he?
Yeah.
Nobody going to pick that joke up. That's fine.
Is that a joke I was supposed to get? I don't know. I think he's too old.
I'm not too old. You guys are too young.
Well,
doesn't matter. We're not going to do this tonight.
I'm not going to let you do this tonight. Talk about High Noon.
High Noon. This podcast brought to you by High Noon. Sunsips, High Noon Hard Seltzer. They are delicious and fantastic. We got the lime in front of us, the grapefruit, I'm sure, the watermelon, all the best flavors in the world. This weekend, when you're watching college football, get you a High Noon. Get you a pack of High Noons. Get you the variety pack.
The variety pack? The peach?
The variety pack is the way to go because if you don't know what your favorite is, mine's the peach. Hers the peach. I also like the lime and the watermelon, but try them all. See what you like.
The mango? The passion fruit?
I haven't had the passion fruit. I had it last time.
Oh, you did have it last time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you've made it this far without trying a flavor of our sponsor.
Well, it's just... That's not. Why would you throw me under the bus like that?
That's not throwing you under a bus. It's just saying that they're literally everywhere. There's a throne of them in the kitchen.
There is a throne.
A literal throne you can climb up on and sit on.
I have a throne of them in my garage.
You still do?
Yeah.
I'm running low. Can you bring me some?
What you want?
Peach.
Like a High Noon pusher. Tell me what you want, girl.
Tell me. Do I got to meet you shady somewhere?
Yeah, meet you, Well,
like hand me a can at a time. You open up your jacket and you got all the flavors.
Right. I got the peach. I got the grapefruit. What you want?
All right. I like that idea. It's a nice idea.
All right. Great sponsor. Fantastic people.
We're recording a little bit later tonight.
I think everybody knows why.
Well, in case.
So I don't know when we're.
People have lives.
Hopefully this is going live almost, very soon after we get done with it. But November 2nd, 2021, we have our first playoff reveal, our first playoff ranking, so we know what the committee is thinking. Because all year, had the AP, the coaches, but that really doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean shit.
The only thing that's going to mean anything at the end of the season will be this committee's ranking. And this particular one by the committee doesn't matter at all. But this is the committee that's going to be making the decision that does matter later on, and we get our first glimpse into their mindset. And my first reaction to their mindset is, the fuck?
What the fuck?
The fuck? Listen. Okay. There are several ways to go about it. But when I'm just power ranking the storylines coming out of this reveal we just saw, number one is definitely Alabama at number two. I don't think there's any doubt about that, correct?
Correct.
I just looked at it like, you and I both had them outside of our top four. Now, we're not on a committee. Nothing we say really matters. But we just thought, knowing college football and watching college football, that it made sense to put them outside the top four.
Here's the thing about these rankings, though. We say that they don't matter, and they technically don't. I mean, I know, no offense, Mississippi State was ranked in the first ones ever. What number were they?
They were number one. They were the first ever number one. November 2014, the first ever college football playoff committee ranking forever will have Mississippi State, the number one team in the country.
I just want you to know that I love you so much that I wanted you to go ahead and be able to say that on my accord so that we could get it out of the way.
I will say it a lot.
It's fine.
Yeah.
What we do learn from this, even though these four teams technically do not matter because we are only on November 2nd, is what the committee is looking at to put those teams where they are. And now we have a glimpse of what they are really looking at. I think Alabama's there, but Cincinnati, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Like, are that we all thought they were going to be potentially, I mean, I think four or five by these ranking standards, not by our own.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing potentially they're looking at these eye tests.
So let's do this. Let's do this outline style. Okay. I'm going to fill in the headlines here, and then we're going to go back and fill in the subplots. Okay. The subpoints.
So like high school again.
I think story number one is Alabama at number two. Okay.
All right. Alabama.
I think story number two is Cincinnati being at six. What do you think story number two is?
Oklahoma at number eight.
I was only going like chronologically. I think probably right. Oklahoma being number eight is shocking. Mm-hmm. Shocking to me. And then Cincinnati being six, Oklahoma eight. Those are the top three stories. I don't know past that. I mean, you can get into like 10 through 25. None of that really matters at this point. We'll definitely talk about it later because there were some pleasant surprises for some of us in there. A&M's 14. You're not real happy with that.
I'm not unhappy, but when they unveiled A&M at 14, I was like, okay, fine. But then when they unveiled Alabama at two,
yeah.
I was like, well, wait a minute. Right, so you're saying Alabama's the second best team in the country over multiple undefeated teams,
right.
But A&M beat them, but is at 14. So that's where I'm confused.
And my team is one of the more shocking things that's ever happened to me. They're ranked number 17.
I'm going to go ahead and admit something.
I did not know they were going to be ranked.
I
did not plan for them to be ranked.
You did not.
I wasn't considering it.
I went ahead and posted a video trolling you a little bit, saying, like, where do you think they're going to be ranked? You say, I don't think they're going to be ranked. We were telling Chaps we think UTSA is going to be ranked ahead of them. And then within a matter of, I don't know, 45 seconds.
I left the room.
It changed. Luckily, Katie got that video, so we did look not completely clownish. But, I mean, 17, huh?
Okay. Let's say you live in a world where you haven't seen the rankings. Let me just go ahead and tell you what's going on. The playoff committee rankings came out. Number one is Georgia. No surprise there.
No.
Number two is the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think that's a gigantic surprise. Should it be? I mean, we know committees and we know the talking heads. We know people love Alabama. We know the eye test. They value that very much. But I thought two was still shocking. Three is Michigan State coming off their biggest victory in a very long time. So they're comfortably in there at three. And then Oregon, who owns the victory over Ohio State, is in fact ahead of Ohio State in that final spot at number four. That might be permanent, that might be temporary. That's a discussion for later on. Ohio State five, Cincinnati, the undefeated team. We wondered how high they could go, the best group of five team in the country. Well, not all that high. They're number six. And then Michigan, number seven, ahead of unbeaten Oklahoma. Interesting, that's a discussion. Wake Forest, also unbeaten, number nine. Notre Dame, much maligned sometimes, number 10, followed by Oklahoma State at 11, Baylor at 12, Auburn at 13, A&M at 14, BYU 15, Ole Miss and Mississippi State back-to-back at 16 and 17, Kentucky at 18, NC State at 19, Minnesota, who lost to Bowling Green earlier, but as a quiet 6-2, and the committee recognizes that. Minnesota and Mississippi State, two teams I don't think are anywhere near being ranked by the pollsters, but are ranked in this one. Wisconsin 21, Iowa 22. That's interesting. now that I look about it, you're talking about we've all assumed Wisconsin's going to win the Big Ten West, right? Well, the committee's got Big Ten West right there. 20, Minnesota, 21, Wisconsin, 22, Iowa. Then you got Fresno State, 23, San Diego State, 24, and Pitt, 25. All right, folks, Katie, Jack, you haven't said anything yet, but I'll just put it up to you. Casey, what's the biggest surprise here to you? You might be leaning Oklahoma.
I think Alabama has to be overall the number one, just because there are teams in the Power Five that are undefeated that have played bigger games. Now, again, we said this last week with Alabama, they do have to play the SEC gauntlet.
Right.
You mentioned this before we walked in. Propping up Mississippi State at 17 then gives Alabama a better win.
Well, that's a theory I've got for a lot. I wanted to drop
that
one myself.
Okay, all right, I'll let that one go. I do think that Oklahoma being at 8 is surprising, not because I think that it should be, but because of the way the committee has treated Oklahoma in the years past. Oklahoma is undefeated in the Big 12. They have had close games. I completely understand that. But for Oklahoma, I mean, what? Not that the AP poll necessarily matters, but didn't they open up at 3-4?
Well, they're 2 or 3 right now in the AP poll.
You know, so it's so that surprises me.
They're 3. They're behind Cincinnati.
Because if you're the thing about the playoff committee rankings every year that puts us all in a blender is that every single team can be like, okay, well, the Oklahoma eye test. That's probably why they're a little bit lower, right? They haven't been burying teams like they should. They should absolutely not be higher than 8 because of that. But then you look at Alabama and you're like, well, they lost to a team who lost to Mississippi State and Arkansas is not even ranked. So what are you really looking at? You look at Michigan State. Now, the only two things that I do think really do make sense, despite I think we would all say Ohio State is better than Oregon, is that Oregon did beat Ohio State. So you can at least give them that credit. That they're like, okay, fine. We do have a head-to-head matchup that we can put ahead of each other.
There's one interesting wrinkle in there. I just can't fathom a world. I understand Oklahoma beat Tulane by 5. They beat West Virginia by 3. They beat Kansas. They didn't beat them very well. I understand they haven't looked good by the eye test. But at the same time, why is Michigan ahead of Oklahoma? Like, Michigan has lost the only game against a winning team they played this year. They lost this Saturday to Michigan State. Michigan has no wins to speak of. They have nothing that you can
Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, they got Wisconsin 21, I guess.
I think that is this is where we go back and forth with the semantics of what the committee thinks because of these eye tests, whatever the fucking term eye test means to you. It's that they're looking if Michigan State would have blown Michigan out, or if Michigan would have blown Michigan State out, these rankings would look different. But because that game was so close and those teams were so even, and it was a top 10 matchup, and it was just last Saturday,
right.
Recency bias is there. They're probably like, well, you know, their close loss was to the number 3 team in the country, who's OU beaten.
You know why I thought Alabama wasn't going to be in the top 4? Because this
lost.
Ranking, A, they lost, yeah, but this ranking doesn't really matter all that much because look at Ohio State. Let's take Ohio State for example. They don't have to be in the top 4 right now because coming down the stretch of the season, they're going to play 3, they're going to play 7, and then they're going to play, they're going to play either 20, 21, or 22 in the Big Ten championship game. So
probably 21.
Ohio State is going to play these teams. Ohio State doesn't have to be in the top 4 right now. Everything's in front of them. They're about to put together a resume that will make them a top 4 team. I thought the same thing about Alabama. Whatever happens with Alabama tonight doesn't matter because their playoff chances come down to one game and one game only. First, they got to get there. And if they beat Georgia, they're in the playoff, period. They lose to Georgia, I don't think you can put them in the playoff, period.
Oh, Brandon.
Do you believe this is putting them in a position at number 2 that they could lose to Georgia and stay in?
There are two different answers to that. Do I think it should be? No.
No, I'm asking you, do you think that's what the committee is doing?
Yes. Because I think that if you put Alabama at 4, if you put them a little bit lower, you put them at, you know, 5, right outside the bubble, you'd be like, okay, listen, they have one more loss, they're toast. You're now putting them at 2. You say they went out. They beat Auburn, who is at number 13. They beat – who else do they have? Who's next week?
I think as far as – they got LSU this week.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and then they have a nobody, I believe. And then they have
– and then Auburn.
They have Auburn. I think they got 4 games left, though. I'm missing somebody. Arkansas, I believe. I think they play Arkansas at some point.
So the way that this looks to me is that it's almost like they're setting it up for 2 SEC teams and 2 Big Ten teams. which would be crazy sitting here November 2nd, but that's what it looks like they're setting it up for.
What you just said, in my opinion, is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and it might be 100% correct. No, I'm serious.
That's what it looks like to me.
I played it through my head when she said it, and then I looked, and I was like, wait.
Okay, now listen. Here's how it could happen. Okay.
So it might be dumb.
Let's assume Ohio State.
But that's what it looks like.
Ohio State beats Michigan, right? Or Michigan State. Like Michigan is going to, if they're 7 and they're able to beat all, there's a world that exists here where massage themselves into a way.
Someone's going to have to answer this for me.
All right.
Is I was playing through this. Someone was just asking me, like, oh, who's going to get in yesterday? And, of course, I didn't know that Alabama was going to be number 2 at that point. But we were going through the Big Ten scenario. There's a very real chance that every team, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, all have one Big Ten loss to each other in a trio. I don't know who gets into the Big Ten championship at that time. At that point,
is it going to be like record against division opponents or something like that?
There's probably a tiebreaker thing, but if it's a Michigan
in the SEC, it's record against division opponents. Yeah.
Michigan beats Ohio State.
Yeah,
and Ohio State beats Michigan State.
And Michigan State.
Everyone has one loss in the Big. Obviously, this also means nobody else has any other losses.
Correct. Yeah.
Who gets in there? Then that would allow for a, like, let's say Michigan beats Ohio State.
State already has a loss, so it gets a little muddy.
Oh, no. Let's say Michigan beats Ohio State and then for some reason gets in over Michigan State. But Michigan State had a close loss to Ohio State.
I'm getting cross-eyed now, Jack.
You're seeing the Matrix right now. You're like Alan from The Hangover sitting at the blackjack table.
But so think about it.
There's so many ways.
It's not likely. I think at the end of the day, Ohio State's going to probably beat Michigan, and it will all play itself out. But if that happens, then it's like Michigan and Michigan State could both be in the playoff.
That is my point. Until we move on, tell me that I am crazy.
Here are the key teams. I think it is crazy, but it's not impossible.
I'm not saying that's what 100% they're doing, but putting them right here and allowing them some space for error and having this situation right here.
Right. Here's the key teams going forward. This one right here is a huge key.
That's Oregon if you're not watching.
They're a huge key. Number 4, Oregon, because they have one loss. They just can't take another loss, and they probably got to keep winning – Impressively. And like, if they go to Utah and win by 3, I think they could be in danger. Like, Ohio State's about to potentially have some wins to pop itself up. But if Oregon drops out of there, all of a sudden things start to align where you could see some Big Ten teams. But Oklahoma at number 8. Okay. Look at what they got coming up. 12-11. You can talk about their eye test. You can talk about everything you want. That's why they're punished now. But if they handle 11 – they handle 12, all of a sudden, they got to start squeezing this thing too. And Cincinnati is the only team in this top 6 or 7 doesn't have an opportunity to do what these teams have to do.
And that's why they're fucked.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati is fucked. I am not saying fuck Cincinnati.
I would not have fucked Cincinnati. I would have had Cincinnati in the top 4.
What you just said is the perfect example, because I'm, you know, of course, like, everybody's tweeting now and freaking out, like, oh, well, it's going to all work itself out and Cincinnati's going to still be there. They have nothing left on their schedule that all of these other teams do, including you get further down. I mean, I don't know where it stops, but I mean, A&M and Auburn have to play each other. They're both still in the running for the SEC West. You've got Baylor, Oklahoma State. Like, you've got all these teams that have to figure it out. Cincinnati's just chilling.
All right, everybody. Hooters. Hooters is back. Hooters. I love Hooters. You love Hooters.
They have the best fried pickles in the game.
They do have great fried pickles. I love a good Hooters. I love Hooters. Hey, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, I don't have a Hooters shirt with me, so I made one.
When you said, I'm going to draw Hooters, I didn't know you were actually going to put nipples on the O's.
That was me.
You thought Katie drew the nipples, first of all. You thought I was going to draw actual boobs.
I thought you were going to draw boobs.
No, I'm drawing Hooters because they're our new sponsor.
Hooters is your go-to spot for killer wings, ice cold beer, and football season means all the big games on all the big screens across this country. Listen, you know where a Hooters is, where you live. Go to it. Get some great wings. Get some great football. It is fantastic. It's the only place that has world-famous Hooters girls. They love football just as much as you and me, and they're better looking than your friends. Maybe not yours, definitely mine. Hooters has game day specials to keep you hydrated and filled up on your Hooters favorites all season long. If you can't make it to Hooters for the game, that's your bad. You can still get your Hooters fix at home and save $10 with code BARSTOOL when you order online.
I love...
Oh, they're sagging.
Oh.
Okay.
You like that, maybe? Yeah. I have friends who worked at Hooters when we were in college. They're pretty hot.
Did you ever work at Hooters?
I did not.
Well, your friends
did. Well, I did get approached. You know they, like, they
recruit?
They recruit once you turn 18. They recruit.
Do they recruit more than Dan Mullen?
Yes.
Call back, or maybe
and
a call
better.
Forward. I don't know what it is.
Whatever this is. Can I will say this. My favorite thing to do is go to Hooters.
My favorite thing to do is look at Hooters, too.
Well, I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
You like. But to get the like a gigantic basket of fried pickles and eat them for an entire football game.
They are good. Visit Hooters.com.
4 hours.
Visit Hooters.com/Barstool. Use code Barstool for 10% off $50 or more on your order. Again, visit Hooters.com/Barstool. Use code Barstool for $10 off any order, $50 or more. Can I just point towards the future of college football and why it's going to be better?
They're going to expand the playoff quicker?
Imagine 12 of these teams were getting in.
Oh.
Imagine me and you right now. I'm at 17. You're at 14. Imagine 12 of these teams were getting in. How hot is this show at that point?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, the people that benefit from the 12-team playoff
are the us's of the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I'm just going to say I think it's bullshit of the highest order that Alabama is number two in the country and number two in this ranking. I think it is complete bullshit because arguments that I hear from people is you can't honestly believe Alabama wouldn't beat Cincinnati by 40. You know, that's a fair point. I also thought Alabama was going to beat Texas A&M by 40, and guess what? They did not. You got to be punished for losing in this world. Mm. In this world, you better be punished for losing. If you can just lose as an 18-point favorite and it doesn't matter at all, what are we really doing? I understand their eye test. I really don't believe their eye test is all that strong. They destroyed Ole Miss. They destroyed Mississippi State. I think that's two good wins. The committee thinks that's two good wins. They also beat Florida by two. Florida kind of sucks. They lost to A&M. Like, they haven't looked that – this isn't a typically dominant Alabama team, and the committee is treating them like they are, and I don't understand that.
Well, that's why it goes back to what I'm saying, and I know everyone's like, oh, she's making this about A&M. I'm going to take even A&M out of the picture. You've got – they beat Mississippi State by a ton. I understand
49
that.
49-9.
49-9. Okay, so Mississippi State, the 17th team in the country, though, so that does prop it up a little bit. But they also lost to A&M at 14, who lost to Mississippi State. Arkansas is nowhere to be found on this list. Florida is nowhere to be found on this list. So I'm not saying, and I've been saying this for a long time, like I think Alabama is one of the top four teams in the country. Usually, that maybe it's my brain is broken. I think they would beat Cincinnati. I think they would beat Oregon. I think they would beat Michigan State right now. But they don't deserve to be number two in this ranking solely because of the math that we're just doing.
Let me tell you another way Cincy has been fucked tonight, and it just occurred to me right now looking at this. Because coming down the stretch of the season, Cincy's going to have a couple teams. They're going to have 6-1 or 7-1 SMU. They're going to have 7-1 Houston, and the committee ranked neither of those teams. Neither of those teams is in the top 25. I'm not sure if they should be, but certainly Pitt with two losses, you know, Fresno State with two losses. I just feel like there could have been room to maybe give Cincinnati a little squeeze here, and they really didn't do it. I don't know. And the one team we're not talking about at all is undefeated right there looking at us, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. What do you do?
I think it's because the ACC is so down this year.
But here's the rub on that. We're going to deny Wake Forest the same courtesy we give to Clemson every year.
It's
the exact same
right.
conference that Clemson beats the shit up on every year, and we let Clemson be up there. Why are we taking it away from Wake Forest?
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I do think that is, I mean, you know, just like I fucking do, that if there was a different logo sitting there at number two with the exact same resume, it would not be sitting there at number two. If this number nine logo was the Clemson Tigers, it would not be number nine. It would probably be two or three.
Clemson usually has a pretty good out-of-conference game. Wake Forest doesn't.
True, but in
like
a world.
Clemson has, like, would,
well, and Clemson usually has like a Heisman Trophy
candidate. But let's be honest. Right. If number nine. If that were Clemson with the same resume as Wake Forest, where do you think they'd be?
Clemson would blow people out. Wake Forest's been squeaking by with wins.
Yeah, I agree with Katie.
That's a fair point. I'm just saying, do you guys think if the circumstances were the same, would Clemson be nine?
Oh, no, if Clemson, but I'm just making this number up. I think Wake Forest is probably averaging about 7 points a win, like the difference. Like Clemson,
I think it's more than that. I think they've been pretty decent. They've had a couple of close wins. Louisville was very close. Syracuse was very close. I'll give you those.
So there's been several very close wins. I don't think if Clemson was that close, like same thing with Alabama. Like they would probably be like 6 or 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's so many conversation pieces here.
And they're Alabama fans. This is going to shock you.
Alabama fans are absolutely feeling themselves
they
tonight.
They are like Alabama fans.
Garth Brooks released a new album or something. They got a new fucking AutoZone in their town.
There are Alabama fans in my mentions right now I said Alabama's still going to make the playoff. However, I said just a simple sentence, a simple tweet, not very many characteristics. Cincinnati is fucked. And I have Alabama fans in my mentions right now being like, oh, a two-loss Alabama team gets in and over an undefeated Cincinnati team because they haven't played anybody. Folks.
What doesn't make sense to me is what you're pointing out.
They beat Notre Dame, who's number 10.
In South Bend, Indiana.
I'm not going to do it. I understand Alabama plays in the SEC. As a team that plays in the same division as them, I do think every single week is much tougher playing in a Power 5 conference than in a non-Power 5. However, if you are an Alabama fan, you cannot make the argument to me that Cincinnati plays, quote, nobody when these rankings come out and they have a much higher win than Alabama does.
They have a better win. Alabama, the way the committee did it, they got 16 and 17 now, so they got that. And I still think the second it happened, I was like,
and lost to 14.
I was very excited Mississippi State was ranked. And then for a second, I was like, they just did that to prop up Alabama. they're just giving us a little squeeze so the Alabama gets up there.
But, and you know what? And maybe a way to knock A&M down a little bit.
Now, this could also be a long con just to drum up conversation because the committee knows Georgia and Alabama are going to do their job for them.
Do they?
I think they do. I think they know. They know one thing. They know if Georgia beats – this is my opinion. I know you might have a different one. They believe if Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama's out, Georgia's in, that's easy. They believe if Alabama beats Georgia, they're both in, that's easy. I think they're just taking – that might be an easy way out for them. And then this whole 3, 5, 7, that'll figure itself out over the next month. You don't have to worry about that. 8 playing 11 and 12, that'll kind of figure itself out.
Yes, okay, but here's where the Big Ten gets more interesting – is 3, 5, 7 also has to play either 21 or 22.
Or 20,
which that does seem so weird.
It is weird, but Minnesota's quietly good.
I know, no disrespect. It's like, what? Like,
credit to Minnesota, Casey.
I didn't say it, you said it.
Credit to Minnesota.
I wonder how many times I said it last podcast. I wish it would have dinged
it. It was in the low hundreds.
I mean, I kept saying it on purpose.
It was in triple digits.
I loved saying it. By the end of that podcast, I couldn't have said it more. But here, the idea of all of these, the teams in the West the East having one loss.
Right.
What if Wisconsin wins?
Yeah, right. There's still things that can happen. Here's
what
the thing.
What if Michigan State wins out? Which, again, this is all so many hypotheticals. What if Michigan State wins out, beats Ohio State, plays Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship? Wisconsin wins.
Chaos. Pure, utter chaos.
It'd be awesome.
Right, it'd be awesome. Also, Michigan State in that scenario would still get in the playoff. I think so, yeah.
What would happen to Wisconsin? You're going to leave a Big Ten.
Are they at 2 losses or 3 losses?
3.
They would just have a Big Ten championship. They wouldn't get in the playoff. They would not get in the playoff.
Has there ever been a conference champion not in the playoff?
Penn State.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A billion times. There's 5 conferences.
Yeah, 5
conferences. I mean of a conference that's in it. Oh, I guess in 2016, did they leave Penn? Was it Penn State they left out?
No, because Penn State didn't make the conference championship game, right?
No.
That's why they got
– No, I thought they won the –
I don't think there has been a conference champion that has not gotten over a team in their conference.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what I'm saying. There's 5 conferences, so I understand conference championship being left out.
I see what you're saying. Like would Michigan State, the non-conference champion, get in over the conference champion?
Right.
Okay. This is Oregon, and you need to be watching this on YouTube because we're pointing to this graphic.
I feel
a lot.
Like we're Vanna Whiting right,
right
now.
Right, we're kind of just playing back here. Oregon to me is the most fascinating team on the board right now because they have been put in a position at number 4. Ohio State is going to just hypothetically, I believe Ohio State's going to win out. Therefore, they're going to build a resume. Does that mean Oregon gets that resume too, kind of. Does that mean Ohio State uses that resume to jump Oregon? Or does Oregon then get the credit for beating a better Ohio State? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
They probably can't even answer that question.
I mean, they're going to have to answer. They're probably going to have to answer that question at some point.
At some point.
Unless like, Utah does. I guarantee you the playoff committee is really rooting for Utah to beat Oregon.
For sure. Mm.
Because I think they want Oregon out of there. I think they want that. Oregon is the one team that makes this complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then guess what it sets it up for?
Well, what you said. But I don't think it sets it up for that. I think
it could.
The team that you're going to have to account for later on is Oklahoma, I believe. What if?
Let's play more hypotheticals.
Okay.
Baylor beats OU.
Okay. So any of the three Big 12 teams, if any of the three Big 12 teams went out, meaning they all play each other. Baylor plays OSU and OU. They all play each other. Either any of those three teams win both games, I think they jump up to right behind Ohio State and – yeah, I do.
I know, but the thought process that Oklahoma, like, so they obviously Bedlam is coming up, which would be great.
Right.
Oklahoma State already has a loss.
Yeah.
Who's Baylor's loss to?
Oklahoma State.
I thought it was Iowa State.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, Iowa State beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma State beat Baylor.
So you're telling me, so that say Oklahoma somehow loses to both of these teams.
Well, then you don't have to worry about them.
But then these two teams play each other.
They already did.
What if they play each other in the Big 12 championship?
Well, then we'll see. Well, you know
what? That's what I'm saying.
Whoever wins, the Big 12 championship.
It would be easy for them to get rid of them, supposedly, if the team has one loss.
Yeah.
Because they're not undefeated. But if Oklahoma wins out, then they're like 13-0.
A million hypotheticals we could do.
I love it.
Fascinating board. Biggest surprise to me, though. Again, the headlines tonight are Alabama at number 2. I think it's a big fuck you to Cincinnati and really the rest of the college football world. It basically sends the message that we love college football, but we kind of love Alabama more.
I don't think
they don't have a great win. They haven't been all that great all year, but damn it, they're Alabama.
I don't think I agree with you from the Alabama side of things. I don't think that Cincinnati being at 6 it's definitely a fuck you to Cincinnati. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're a Cincinnati fan right now, you should be raising hell. However, it does absolutely solidify what I've been thinking all year, is that just because they're winning out in the group of 5, that the committee is going to be like, I'm sorry, you're not in a Power 5 conference. We only have 4 spots. We have 5 Power 5 conferences. Yes, you have a good win at Notre Dame. Indiana is nowhere to be fucking found. No one cares about Indiana.
Yeah.
But that solidifies that argument to me. It's like, well, the last 2 weeks, you had opportunities to blow teams out of the water. You didn't. It hurt. It dinged their resume.
That's what the committee is citing. They're saying that Cincinnati's tremendous respect from the committee. Their win at Notre Dame was a heck of a performance. But after that win, look who else they've beaten. And then that they have cited the 2 weeks close games at Navy and Tulane.
Was that guy holding like a red and white pom-pom when he was talking?
No, this is Gary Barta. White?
Huh?
Gary Barta.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Was he?
Probably.
Crimson and white, yeah.
he came to the show. First of all, Roll Tide. Second, here's the deal about
Nick
Cincinnati.
Credit.
Yeah, well,
the quotes are phenomenal that are coming out of this.
Oh, I can only
The committee starts with no prior assumptions. We don't think about what happened in previous years. Preseason polls don't come into discussion. I mean, that's psychologically impossible.
Minnesota's at number 20 because they're on a 4-game winning streak and they beat Maryland and they won at Purdue.
Minnesota's a decent team. I think they're fine at 20.
Yeah,
just surprising.
What's their reasoning for Mississippi State at 17? I really do
haven't gotten one.
I'll tell you their reasoning.
Beat A&M.
No, watch this. Win.
Okay.
There's only one team in this board that's beaten 3 of these teams.
And one loss to a team they beat.
Yeah, it's fine, but I'm just saying the reason we're ranked is we beat 14, 18, and 19, and no other team can say they've beaten 3 of these teams. And most of these teams can't say they beat 2 of these teams. So we're a weird team, man. We're a weird – imagine if we hadn't been fucked against Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that game didn't happen.
Imagine if we hadn't been fucked against Memphis, if we'd gotten a fair result there, oh, boy, y'all would be – By the way, Mike Leach building something in Mississippi State. I've been quiet, but this opened me up tonight.
The 16-17.
Oh, we're gonna beat the fuck out of them. We're gonna beat the piss out of Ole Miss.
So I have a question for you. Looking at this before we move on.
I had one more statement before we moved on from Cincinnati.
Okay, no, I was gonna also talk about Cincinnati, but go ahead.
We are burying Cincinnati. Me and you are standing here with shovels, thinking the committee just knocked them in the grave, and we're just gonna pour dirt on them. However, they're at 6.
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma's 8. Yeah. They're undefeated. Like, they gave them more respect than Oklahoma. And they're at 6. Michigan State definitely could lose. Oregon could lose.
Well, there's 6. Of the 4-5 teams above them, 4 of them have to play each other.
Right. There's spots are opening up here. They got to worry about playing defense against, like, Oklahoma passing them. They got to worry about a little bit of stuff. But ultimately, their spot's going to open up. We're burying them now, and everybody's laughing at them. Them getting in the final poll is not crazy.
It's not crazy. And I don't think I personally am not laughing at Cincinnati because I think that it's bullshit. If Alabama wouldn't have been at number 2, I would have felt a little bit differently just because, again, Alabama does have a loss to my team. But even though they all have to play each other, there's still a scenario where even if they all play each other, they still all get in.
No.
Yes, there is.
I don't know.
If Alabama.
Ohio State. You talking about Alabama? Who's talking about?
I'm talking about Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship.
Right.
They're both in, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. If
you have to really dance to make this happen with the Big Ten. Because Ohio State having a loss.
Right. They have that.
Destroys that.
Well, the way for loss. Cincinnati to get in would be Georgia
beats Alabama.
Beats Alabama handedly. Ohio State just runs through. Michigan State just wins out.
Well, I don't think that's not that realistic, though. So I think Ohio State just running through Michigan State and Michigan,
but then,
they claim a spot, but they get out, and then Oregon losing, all of a sudden.
Yes, but then we're talking about just the teams in front of them, where then what about the teams behind them? What about if OU runs the gauntlet?
But if they run the gauntlet, fine, but there's also, those three teams could split. Oklahoma has to go to Baylor and to Oklahoma State.
But it's just, you said it.
I'm starting to think Cincinnati has more of a chance to reach the Final Four
now that we've talked about it. But the biggest thing is.
The opportunity is here.
I think Oklahoma will be jumped before they put Cincinnati in.
I don't understand that sentence.
Sorry, I know what you mean. We'll jump them.
Yes, I agree.
But if Oklahoma handles their business, but. We've seen a lot of evidence this year that Oklahoma might not handle their business.
Agree. This hypothetical.
What if Michigan State beats Ohio or Michigan beats Ohio State?
Pigs might fly. I don't know. I still just don't think Michigan's very good. Michigan State's very good.
We're playing this hypothetical though that the one thing that we do know for a fact out of everything else is that Cincinnati has the least amount, at least in the at least in the top 8.
The least amount of opportunity left on their schedule is what you're saying.
Yeah. The least amount of opportunity to boost their resume.
All right. Anything we haven't covered here?
I think Wisconsin being in there at all is absurd.
Well,
they're playing so well right now.
I don't know why they ranked.
They're 3 losses.
Fresno State and San Diego State.
I agree with that. Fresno State
dominated San Diego State.
Our friend Chaps.
UTSA not getting in, but also they have no wins. So it's kind of like Marshall I think the first rankings ever. They finished the season 13-0, and like they were just like not very good. They didn't have any wins. On top of that, why is Kentucky 18?
The committee cited that basically UTSA only had Illinois, and then everyone else was under 500 that they beat.
Yeah, they beat Memphis.
But why is Kentucky 18?
Yeah, it's a great. They so they're 6-2. I guess their best one's what? Florida.
Yeah.
LSU.
LSU. Yeah. Mizzou.
Have they put out the rest of them, or do they only do 25?
They only do 25.
Every week.
Every week.
I didn't know if the first week they did. Forward they did. I would love to see 26 through 30.
Yeah, that's probably.
I would love to.
I mean, we could probably guess them, but. There it is.
I just. And also, gripe, and I know they do this every time. I fucking hate it. When we unveil the top 6, can we not start with number 6?
No,
they start with 1.
It's the best way to do it.
They go 20. Why? They go 25 to 7. Then they go 1.
Right, I don't like that.
No, I like
they
that.
They do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
5, 6. Yeah.
I know. I want them to go 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
They know where the drama points are, though.
Yeah.
All right, here, how about this then? 1, 6,
5,
2, 5.
No,
3,
no, no, no,
4.
No. They do it perfectly.
I kind of like that, too.
Yeah, isn't that good? Yeah. Like, okay, well, fuck. We know it's Georgia. I do think it's... Can you imagine the drama that would have happened if we saw Georgia come out number 1 and then they ranked Cincinnati 6?
No, I don't think that would be drama.
That would have been less drama, but it's certainly... Actually, now I'm side with Jack, because the first moment that took my breath away tonight
was Alabama.
No.
No, Mississippi State.
No. Well, oh. That took my breath away for a good reason, but that doesn't matter to anybody else. The first moment that took my breath away was eight. Yeah. When Oklahoma popped up at eight, I was like, what? What are we doing? So does that mean Michigan seven? And we put Michigan at seven. Then they went Georgia. And when two moments took my breath away, Oklahoma eight, Alabama two.
Yeah.
Cincinnati six took my breath away.
I'm really confused with the San Diego State. I guess they beat Utah.
But wouldn't Cincinnati have taken your breath away if they unveiled that before this?
Maybe.
It would have. Have we been sitting there, we're like, what the fuck is this? And then we're all like, well, does that mean that Michigan's going to jump Cincinnati? And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, we're done with Michigan at seven. Let's go to number one. Well, the Georgia Bulldogs, duh. If they would have been like, all right, Michigan seven, Cincinnati six. You'd be like, what?
It is a testament to Kirby Smart and how good that team is this year. The defense is good. We're arguing every number on the board except for one.
Well, there's no argument.
And there is absolutely
not a one.
Zero argument right now. Can he finish? He's had a great approach shot to the green. He's like, he's now got a 3-foot putt for birdie the rest of the season. Can he make this putt now?
I mean,
can he finish this out?
I would love to hear one single human being argue against Georgia. One. Has anybody called into the Brandon Walker College Football Show?
No, there is no argument against Georgia.
This is one of those teams that on November 2nd, as we sit here at 9 p.m. or whatever time it is, there is no holes you can poke in the fact that they're the number one team in the country.
I'm looking forward to championship weekend, right? The SEC and the – so you got Georgia, Alabama, which could be 1-2. Auburn could beat them, though. You got 1-2 there, and then you got – yes. What? What are you doing?
You're just completely negating that A&M could be there?
Yes, I'm completely negating that. Correct. That is correct. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to lose to Auburn?
I don't know. We'll deal with that. That'll sort itself out this weekend.
They're going to lose to Ole Miss then.
Who is?
A&M.
Nah, y'all match up
to LSU?
I don't know, Casey.
So my point is,
I don't know. This isn't about A&M. This was just about.
No, it's not. But I'm saying the
SEC championship game, number one against number two. That is a playoff game.
That's a playoff game.
We will have, you know, four playoff games this year, not three.
That is a playoff game.
And then, like, Big Ten.
Michigan State was probably a playoff game.
Big Ten, you're going to have a playoff-bound team just trying to hold serve against the West champ. That's what you're going to have in the Big Ten. In the Big 12, you're going to have a rematch. You're going to have one of these three teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Baylor, playing another one of these three teams. Iowa State's not on there. I know what you're looking for. They got three losses.
No, I was also looking for Penn State.
The Pac-12 championship game, you know, Oregon probably rematches with Utah in that one. And the ACC championship game, my God. NC State's got a chance to be there. It's a wild scene in the ACC. There you go.
I got to say something.
What?
This graphic gives me the tingles.
It really is beautiful.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
The camera's over there.
I will say, I do not like the list goes from top to bottom, not left to right, which I didn't realize when I put it in.
You didn't make that graphic,
No, I did not. I pulled it from someone. It was last minute.
Oh, we're thieving?
I mean, you want to get a podcast going.
Doing a little thieving. That's fine. I like a little thieving every now and then.
But yeah, I don't like how it goes down from top to bottom.
I didn't even notice
to right.
that, to be honest with you.
All right. There's our playoff talk.
Brandon, we went to a lovely steak dinner.
We damn sure
last
did.
Last weekend.
Really
in
good.
Lansing.
Shout out to that restaurant in East Lansing.
Bodie's
Chop House.
Chop House. Bodie's.
Yep.
I don't know how to say it, and but it was delicious.
And it was right by a.
Yeah. Well. Okay. It was absolutely amazing. Me, you, Katie, and Dan went. Mm-hmm. I took a photo of you.
And what am I wearing?
Well, first, the photo I have to describe that was fantastic is we had some lobster mac and cheese come out with a full-ass lobster on it, and I've never seen you react the way that you did.
I was in love.
You were in love.
It was a bed of mac and cheese with a lobster tail on it.
But when I posted the photo on Twitter and Instagram, and Dan retweeted it, you retweeted it, everybody retweeted it, I got a lot of comments about how nice your Peter Millar quarter zip looked.
I mean, they got over 150 colleges or something. Listen, I'm a Mississippi State fan, so I'm going to be wearing my maroon. She's going to be wearing a maroon. Katie's got the Carolina blue. I just, whenever we go on the road, I don't know if you've noticed, I wear that Peter Millar every Friday night.
You
wherever
do.
We go to dinner, I wear that to represent where I'm from.
And did you notice that because we were at Michigan State, which is obviously an MSU school, there were multiple people that were like, oh, well, that's a
right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not our yeah. color, but that's a nice MSU hoodie. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's because it's Michigan State. But we love Peter Millar. I know that you did an ad with one of my favorite ones of A&M the other day. It's a very understated, just a little logo, but it has the gray sleeves, the white, so comfortable. I'm getting that for my mom for Christmas.
They don't just have the quarter zips. They got the polos.
They've
got
the
all
polos.
Kind of
they've
stuff,
got
yeah.
shirts of obviously a lot of golf gear. They've got the pants. They've got everything. But more importantly, right now, you can go find any of your licensed collegiate gear on Peter Millar right now. So if you go to petermillar.com/roughness, you'll get free shipping, which we love.
Right,
we love a good
sure.
free ship, but complimentary gift too.
Oh, that's
I don't even
nice.
Know what the gift is, but if it's free, I'll take it.
Maybe it's a picture of me, my Peter Millar.
Probably not. If anything, it's probably me and Katie and our Peter Millar. Maybe a little autograph. Who knows?
Why are you the way that you are?
Why are you the way that you are?
Why are you the way that you are?
Because I wear my Peter Millar. Go to petermillar.com/roughness tonight right now for free shipping and a complimentary gift with your order.
We got a lot of other stuff. Even if this hadn't happened.
Oh, man, even we have playoff, a story.
We have no, got – give me a time check on this. So how far are we in? Imagine a world where there's a Texas stripper monkey and we haven't even talked about it till now.
A Texas stripper monkey with a stripper named
Pole assassin.
Who's been on Jerry Springer.
Probably the most famous pole assassin since Hitler. This guy, this stripper.
Oh. I don't get it.
Didn't he invade Poland?
Yes. Got it.
Some of my jokes are a little too
No, that's
smart.
Mine.
Oh, no. I got it.
Was that not good?
I
no, that
it.
Was good. That was like
I
a
think
both.
We,
and you did you do you think you might have ruined it a little bit?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get it. I'm usually good with that stuff, too.
Brandon,
yeah, cut out shirts
it.
Too for
all gas, no primates.
We're gonna change it to no gas, all primates though.
No gas,
all gas, no primates.
I think that would be a better shirt without the saying at all. I think just a stripper monkey.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I do love.
Anyway,
I love,
she's been on Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She. That's where she got the name Pole Assassin.
No. Oh. Way before.
The she, goat Gary Spring.
Gary Spring.
Jerry Springer's tweet about her, whatever year that was. Said she is the goat.
2017.
Imagine. First of all, I judge no people for how they make a living. But imagine when you are sitting down to come up with your stripper name, thinking, what do I do? Well, I assassinate that fucking pole. That's what I do. I go after that fucking pole like it's none of its business.
I mean, it's a brilliant name. I've never been to a strip club, but like, imagine if you're at a strip club and somebody
right.
coming out. And yeah. saying, here comes Pole Assassin.
Yeah, no.
You are like, you may be watching a game over right. there, but you hear Pole Assassin.
So let me just paint a picture for you. Let me paint a picture. Me and Jack are at a strip club. Right? Hold on.
You've never been to a strip club?
No. Why would I go to a strip club? I don't like the idea of them. I think it's.
No. They give me the creeps.
They
too.
Give everyone
yeah.
the creeps.
Right.
Well, not everyone. Most people the creeps.
I mean, I love
no
titties,
offense.
But I do
no,
not
no
like.
Offense.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I like to earn them.
No offense. I mean, I think they're creepy.
You do.
Too.
You pay for them there. You earn them.
No, I like to earn them, though.
It's just kind of shocking. Jack hasn't been one.
Just
time.
Imagine me and you are sitting in a strip club. We're at the Pony on Highway 45 in Mississippi, right? Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting there, and some Van Halen, you know, Panama. That's all playing, and everything's going crazy. And it's the DJ saying, "All right, up next on the main stage, we got Cinnamon. After Cinnamon, Desire, and after her,
main event of the evening.
Main event of the evening. And we're just okay. What time is it? Y'all ready
Sounds
to go?
Like WWE.
The Pole Assassin. I'm sorry." What?
Yeah, Bruce Buffer is going to bring her.
What? It's time. The Pole Assassin. And not only that, we're watching. All right, here comes the Pole Assassin. What? Is that a monkey?
A domesticated monkey?
Is that a monkey?
Apparently not that domesticated.
There's a strip. And we haven't even
we
told
haven't
the story
got,
yet.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't gotten. Wait, I think it is domesticated.
Here's the
thing.
The
11, 12-year-old's fault.
And again, right? Again, we're pointing at this as if this is like our chalkboard or our right. whiteboard. God, I sounded old just then. But I'm pointing back at this photo. This monkey
has ones in its, yeah.
It's holding ones in its mouth.
Right, yeah.
And in its
hands, a stripper. Technically, the monkey's a stripper too, right?
Are we into bestiality now?
But it's a monkey.
Okay. She's we like, haven't even told the college football part of this. If I just told you half the story and then said,
here's a question,
and then
how much of our audience do you think hasn't heard this?
None. You're right.
No. I
no,
think
actually,
I
more,
think it
more,
was 50%.
Okay, all right.
Because you have to be. So this is the world that we live in, because we work here, that Twitter is everything.
Yeah.
There are so many people that are not on Twitter.
Okay.
So many.
So if I told you there was a stripper out there called the Pole Assassin who had a pet monkey.
Gia.
When they were trick-or-treating, or when trick-or-treating was happening on Sunday night, a kid went too close to the monkey or something, and the monkey bit the person. If I told you this human being that has the monkey was dating an assistant coach for a college football team, I think you'd probably guess University of Texas. I think Texas might be one of your first guesses. Like what? Coastal, maybe? Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, Coastal.
West Virginia.
South Florida, because
no,
it's
West,
Tampa?
West
Virginia.
West Virginia? West Virginia, 1,000%.
West Virginia? Okay. But no, it is.
No offense.
Jeff Banks, the special teams coordinator at the University of Texas, who is dating the Pole Assassin.
Hold on. Also,
wait, the monkey's name is Gia, or the
Gia.
The stripper's name is Gia.
No, monkey.
Okay. It has its own
Pole
Instagram.
Pole Assassin's name is Danielle Banks, I think. Well, they're not dating.
They got
married? I think they're married, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
Also,
so she has a show
not,
for the wives and girlfriend ticket section?
We've not, yes.
The monkey does, too.
Yeah,
we've
she's
not,
the special team.
We've not put this out there yet, that he also, Jeff Banks, was married with children and left said marriage and children for the Pole Assassin.
As you do. I mean, that's what you do.
And it should also be noted, after they left, she retired from the game.
So question.
She did.
Yes, yeah, she's left the game.
She's no longer, she's the ex-Pole Assassin.
So is Jeff Banks the monkey's stepdad?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the monkey was, like, that video on the right was, like, he may have been in that scenario that you said that laid out between us and was so enthralled with the Pole Assassin. Imagine, you were playing that out, but then on top of it, imagine then thinking, fuck it, I'm going to leave my wife and kids for this woman
and her monkey. And also, it's been deleted, but the internet keeps receipts, as Twitter does.
Right.
The Pole Assassin last night.
Tried
to tweet through it, but also.
And did a good job.
Also did a good job because she showed us the video of the Banks residence. Have you seen this?
I have not seen
it. Oh, Brandon. So she comes, it's a selfie video. And she comes through and she says, okay, listen. She was like, this is what I want everybody to see. They had created a haunted house on like the side of their backyard. She says that you have to go through a fence, then you go through the haunted house, and then on the other side, there's a fence that's covered in balloons that says, turn around. You cannot come past this gate. Okay. This child, adult,
11-year-old, yeah.
Goes past the balloons, goes past the please do not continue.
Gets bit by a monkey.
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. Okay. But wait, there's more. She then shows their entire backyard, including a gigantic pool and a hot tub, and that you have to go around the house. Then you get to another gate that says, do not enter emotional support animals here or whatever. Do not enter.
And then gets bit by a monkey.
Then you have to open up that gate, go into the pen, and then stick your hand into Gia's cage.
Well, and then he gets bit by a monkey.
Yes.
This is all according. So for people that don't know, this all started with one tweet. It was alleged that a trick-or-treater was, on Halloween night, obviously, was
attacked,
assaulted by this. And I thought to myself, it was just like at the door.
Yeah.
Then it comes out that on like a neighbor's app, which is an app for like parents and stuff in suburbs, she put
it's
out.
It's like a citizen app in New York.
Yeah, like put a statement out and said, hey, like, come to my residence. We're having a maze from 7 to 9:30. And then adults swing by from like 9 to 11. So there was like an adult part too.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, she then explains the whole thing on Twitter in that video that Casey perfectly laid out.
Thank you.
And this is all alleged. We're not sure if we haven't heard if the monkey – we haven't heard from the parents that the monkey.
From parents, the kid,
that
or
monkey
the monkey
attacked. And she said that the monkey only attacked, only like did a little bit of like some scratches. The kid's fine, according to her.
Okay.
And
she
also
hasn't
blamed
heard from the
trick or treaters.
Listen, I've been in a situation where I've leaned into a stripper's ear and says, "Can I see your monkey?" And imagine that leading to all of this. The Jeff Banks did that one day, and then all of a sudden we get all the way down to this.
Yeah, he's so proud of that.
I've been waiting for like 45 minutes to say that.
Also, this is not a no-name coach. Dennis Dodd tweeted out on October 18th, one name to watch in the Washington State search, which goes to show, like, this is all connected. One name to watch in the Washington State search is Texas assistant head coach slash special teams coordinator Jeff Banks, former Washington player who was a key member of Nick Saban's staff, making $1 million as the special teams coach at Texas. And that house, by the way, this video.
So Pole Assassin living good.
Oh, Pole Assassin got that bag and left. She cashed out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
All right.
Also,
is a monkey vaccinated?
An 11 to 12 year old should know better than to enter someone's yard without permission and old enough to also follow the rules. The rules were when you get to the gate, turn around and come back out for candy. Every other parent and child did so. That's from Pole Assassin on Twitter.
Yeah, Pole Assassin. She was letting it fly. So apparently, Pole Assassin and Jeff Banks met when he was at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Not the first time a Alabama coach has fallen for a stripper.
Yeah, I had a tweet.
That's true.
Yeah, it's no. I said true. Mike Price has got to be like,
what the fuck?
What the fuck?
I mean, like, but that stripper didn't have a fucking monkey.
Like, he got fired for going to the strip club. This Alabama, he was a key member of Nick Saban's staff,
and then he got a raise after he started dating the Pole Assassin. But this came out from a guy named Taylor Ham, who works for 24/7 in College Station. When Jeff Banks was at A&M, he was accidentally sending Taylor Ham booty calls that he was trying to pick up.
He'd be like, hey, baby girl. Like,
he's like, hey, baby girl, next time I'm out here in California, like let me take you out.
Jeff Banks kind of fucks.
How do we not know about the Pole Assassin before now?
We did.
Apparently you and I didn't, but a lot of people did.
Oh, Tex Ags was talking about the Pole Assassin back in January.
Shout out college football forums.
Somebody also messaged me over in January about Pole Assassin. I just ignored it. Also, just one last tweet from – she goes by Danny on Twitter. Twitter's gone now. But this PFT commenter responded to her – our PFT commenter said, I don't want to believe it. Is your monkey in the child okay? No one was viciously attacked. This is a lie, a whole lie. She was not a part of any haunted house. The kid did not have permission to be on the other side of my property. Thank you for clearing this up. Seems like a media witch hunt special. That is all.
All right.
And now, to come
that's enough about the Pole Assassin. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. That was fun.
I don't know if I can stop talking about the Pole Assassin.
Well, I'm sure we'll have some Pole Assassin jokes come up a couple times. So we go from what a transition that was.
The next time a field goal is missed,
next time there's a doink off the upright.
Yeah. That guy's a pole assassin.
Especially like imagine if Dicker the kicker didn't expect that pole assassin to be there.
The kicker, not the only Dicker on Texas's team.
Yeah. Wait, are they gonna fire him?
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, the man can marry whoever he wants.
And it's public. Like, he's brought her to,
she's
like,
on the field and shit. Field.
Like, she's, like, public. Like,
I mean, also,
it doesn't seem like they broke any
now
laws.
I think if we lived in the world we lived in 20 years ago, like, did we really need to fire Mike Price for going to a strip club? He's a grown man.
Yeah, no.
If he wants to go to a strip club,
and
he should be able
consensual.
To do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary Patterson. And in a story that would lead this show a lot. In fact, we got about 3 or 4 stories that would lead this show a lot. He's not beating the playoff or the Pole Assassin.
In no world.
In no world would Gary Patterson
beat the Pole Assassin. At TCU. To me, this is not – because we've talked – I've at least said a couple of years in a row now, like, hey, Gary Patterson is put up as this good coach, but he hasn't really been good for a while.
Yeah, I've been with you.
And he hasn't been good, but now he's out. And now that he's out, though, it's like – he's one of those guys. I think Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern's one. I think Ference at Iowa is one. Whittingham at Utah is one. Like, it's hard to separate the coach from the program at this point. Not David Shaw, because I saw Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But I think Gary Patterson and TCU are like one and the same. I mean, he built this thing. He got them into two conferences.
If you go back on their, like, if you type in record by year TCU, and you go back to what they were before Gary Patterson, I mean,
they
came
were nothing.
Over, literally nothing. I put in this tweet that they had just 6 winning seasons over the 33 years before Gary Patterson took over in, like, 2000. And then within 10 years, he was in the college football playoff discussion.
I mean, TCU was South Alabama. They were Southern Miss.
Yeah.
That's who they were in the 90s.
And that guy...
Built it.
And Lincoln Riley said today in his press conference, he's like, well, Gary Patterson's not closing out the season with the program that he built. That ain't right.
That's not right.
I agree. But he could have decided.
He chose that. That feels like a Gary Patterson
thing. They should
thing.
Name the damn stadium after him, like Bill Snyder.
I kind of agree. No, I do agree with that. I don't kind of agree with or it. Like but it,
the, Gary Patterson Field at whatever stadium.
But the weird thing is, I also kind of get it. Like, I get why you would move on because he hasn't been good lately. He also – but and here's the thing. And here's the layer to the TCU Gary Patterson divorce that not a lot of people are saying, but I am the sharpest college football mind in America, and I see this. This isn't about TCU. It's not about Gary Patterson. This is kind of about Texas and Oklahoma. Yeah. Because what is happening here is a lot like what's going to happen at LSU. The next LSU coach has an opportunity when Saban retires to dominate the SEC. The next coach at TCU has a chance to grab the spots left open by Texas and Oklahoma. When they leave, there's a leadership vacuum. There's a monster vacuum. There's an icon vacuum. There's a hole there for somebody to be the tentpole program of the Big 12. If they get the hire right, they could do it.
I completely agree. I also – I feel like since we've started doing this podcast together that we've kind of made fun of the – and it, I don't know how long the narrative is. You'd have to go back and look, Jack or Katie, but how – like it was every other year Gary Patterson was bad, right? Or not right. bad. But like he would have a really good year and then a down year and then a really good year and then a down year. And the whole TCU and everybody was like, well, Gary Patterson never puts back-to-back bad years together. That's just not been true for a long time.
No, it hasn't been. And they weren't very good this year. And now he's out. So, does that mean? I mean, he's not an old guy. I don't know how old he is, but
he's been at TCU for 20 years.
22 years, I believe. And I would guess he's definitely 50s, maybe 60.
I'm gonna say 62.
I'm gonna say 57.
I'm gonna say 62.
I'm gonna say 57.
All right, I'm gonna say 62.
I'm gonna say 57.
61.
Ha!
I won.
No.
Price is Right rules.
No bullshit.
Went over.
Oh my
dun,
god.
Dun, 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 dun. I won. Should have bet a dollar. Actually, I should have.
If he's so established here at TCU and connected to the team, do you think he'll ever coach somewhere else?
If I was ever on Price is Right, I'm going to answer that question. If I was ever on Price is Right and somebody – and I bid 250 and somebody bid 251, I'd punch him right in the fucking lips.
Oh, I
just
too.
Punch the shit out of him.
I would, too.
But to get your own fucking bid,
yeah.
Asshole.
I would, too.
It is hard to imagine Gary Patterson somewhere else, but
like
it's not
Coach O. Like they're so established and connected to the name.
Yeah, but
Gary Patterson,
22 years. I mean, Ed Orgeron for all that, he's only been at LSU for what 8 years, 9 years. Fair. He hasn't been there that long.
But I see what you mean.
But
like from a
Orgeron's a cultural thing,
right?
Like he's a Cajun. He's one of them.
Like, can you imagine him at like USC?
Oh yeah,
a lot of small blonde girls over there.
Do y'all know what we're saying?
Orgeron, Coach O, he was already there.
No, yeah. I mean like, now.
Oh, okay.
Now.
So,
like, can you imagine if he goes back
could you,
there now?
No, could you imagine Patterson at USC?
No. But after all of this, after Orgeron, he's now divorced.
Right.
He's won a national title. He's running around with all the co-eds.
Right.
He sounds the way he does. And now you ship him back to L.A.?
I bet my boy Ed O is texting Jeff Banks like, hey, she got a sister?
Can you imagine Jeff Banks and the Pole Assassin
on a double date with Ed Orgeron.
Hey, Pole Assassin,
and a
you
USC
work out?
Co-ed of the night.
Whew, a lot going on. College football is horny.
The world is horny.
Speaking of horny, the Horned Frogs are looking for a new coach. That was good, and you know it.
That was dad. That
know
was
it.
A dad joke.
It was
a
good
joke, but it was good.
It was,
good.
But you, I do like your angle of it. It means it shows that it means more about Texas and Oklahoma.
I think they're going to catch a good coach at LSU and USC. You're going to pass on. Like, I think a Billy Napier wants the LSU job. He's not going to get it because he's not a name. I bet he ends up at like TCU and does great.
I know we mentioned this for Texas Tech, and I cringed. There's no way that like an Art Briles.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think TCU would. I'm just – it doesn't feel – Tech being out there and being an outlier makes a little more sense.
Texas Christian University might be tough.
Yeah, it might be a hard sell.
Okay.
It might be a hard sell. Although, Hugh Freeze was fired for hookers, and he's just playing – he's just at Liberty. Yeah.
I would make the argument – we don't have to go back down the morality off, but I'd make the argument that buying hookers and what was going on at Baylor, two different things.
I agree, but I'm just saying.
Hugh may have been like not been buying hookers for himself.
Oh, he was not. Anyway.
Yeah, but
like, and it could have been for like
But let he who hasn't bought a hooker for a 17-year-old boy cast the first stone. I'm sure. I mean,
this is just all alleged. Like, I have
that's a crime. Lock
we have
me
no.
On
yeah, we have no evidence.
All right, so move on. All right, Clay Helton going to Georgia Southern. This is one of those that I'm like, good for him. Wait, what?
Yep.
Georgia Southern plays a style of football. They play the option. He's gonna coach the option.
Yeah. No. My first two thoughts were, I don't care, and then what? That's like literally. Like, that is the when I saw Bruce Feldman's tweet, and I was like. Okay, who cares?
Speaking of culture shock.
Yeah.
Going from L.A. to Statesboro, Georgia. I would much rather live in Statesboro, Georgia, I promise you.
No.
Oh, yes.
I think Statesboro would be my...
I love L.A. But to go from USC, USC money, L.A. money to Georgia Southern for $800,000 a year.
Well, it's not like he's leaving USC money. I mean, a lot of that USC money is coming with him.
Mm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess you're right. But I just those were my two gut reactions. It was like, I don't care at all. And then what?
Keep going, Katie. Mm. All right. Oh, now, this poor man.
First, before we get there.
Yeah.
I must say. And we know that the internet is the internet.
Right.
I don't think I've seen as many people mad at our own Jack McGuire than the caption on this Instagram that we put up.
Oh, I haven't seen this. What are we talking about?
Apparently, I didn't even read it, but I was getting like tweets and stuff. Like,
what did you put on a caption? A Dan Mullen caption? What was it?
Yeah. I don't think it was that big of a deal. But
this shows I don't even read your comments. So.
No, I don't either. People were like, I got a DM that was like, love you and Brandon, but Jack's really, really ruining the account. Like, this is out of context.
Agreed.
And I was like, I didn't go look at it. I'll be honest. So I didn't. He was like,
I think they were mad about the Coach O one.
Oh.
But the Coach O one, guys, 11,000 likes on a post on Instagram is like disgusting numbers.
All right, here we go.
I did my job correctly.
What was the Coach O one?
Focus up.
We'll get there.
All right, focus up. So, and I am going to go into this rant and this conversation, and I'm a little smugly satisfied tonight because 4 years ago, Dan Mullen left to go to greener pastures.
Left for a hotter girl.
And now those pastures are about to eat him, and we're sitting – Mike Leach, future looks pretty good all of a sudden. So
Dan Mullen left for a hotter girlfriend, potentially with –
yeah.
A monkey.
And that bitch
is
crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is crazy. So Gators coach Dan Mullen, who is going through it anyway, he's 4-4 this season, just got killed by Georgia. And Kirby Smart knew what he was doing when Kirby Smart was talking about after the game about how important recruiting was and how you can't out-coach good players. He knew what he was doing. He knows the argument between him and Mullen is Mullen's a better coach, Kirby's a better recruiter. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was throwing gasoline on the fire. But so – Dan Mullen was asked about recruiting yesterday in his press conference, and he says, we're in the season now. We'll do recruiting after the season. When it gets to recruiting time, we can talk about recruiting. Now, this is the world that he signed himself up for. He signed up for a program that only wants to win national championships and recruiting championships. If you're not winning, if you're not getting top five classes, you suck. If you're not winning national titles, you suck. That's what Dan Mullen signed up for. He also signed up for an absolutely crazy scenario when he can say something like this that is totally innocuous in my opinion, and he is absolutely lambasted and burned at the stake for it by Florida's fans who want him gone. They want him gone now because they are saying, oh, he's not even going to recruit during the season. No, this man said, we're at a press conference. We're in the season. I'm not going to talk about recruiting right now. That's kind of stupid. And Gator fans absolutely hate him for it.
Hate
him for it.
Well, what I don't understand about his thought process, and maybe it's just because my brain doesn't work the same way as him, but we talked about it on Sunday. Something broke him last year, whatever it may be, whether it was the Georgia game, whether it was the A&M game, whatever it was, something broke him where he just couldn't say anything right. He's now on the hot seat because they just keep losing, and then he walks out and has this to say. Like, this is not what you say when you're trying to like save your job.
I guess not, but I still think it's like, all right, guys, we're in the season. We'll talk about recruiting later. He's saying we'll talk about recruiting. He's not saying we're going to do the recruiting later.
Well, no, but like you have to know that when like all the time we talk about coaches. If you're winning and you say an asshole thing, it's fine. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's our guy.
That's guy. Doesn't matter. If you're losing and you have something that could even minorly be picked apart, that's all people are going to care about. And that's what he did. I understand what he's trying to say.
He also doesn't have a good recruiting class right now. He's an awful recruiting class.
So
top 100 recruits.
That's what I was going to.
And if he had good recruits right now, this would be all cute and funny.
This isn't just like This
has been building for a while because he doesn't recruit at the level Florida wants you to recruit at.
And after this, that's like off the next line he says is next question. He's like snaps instantly. He's like, world famous.
No, Dan Mullen can be a dick in these press conferences. I've seen it before. Yeah, I've seen him snap on people. But to me, this was an innocuous comment, but he has gotten himself into the fire. If you're not going to recruit at Florida, you're not going to stay at Florida, period. Here's the rub about SEC jobs. You can say you want it. You can say this and everybody – you have to win all year long. And we say it's all about winning championships and all that. It's not. If Kirby wasn't winning the way he's won, Kirby winning in February and December on signing day has helped Georgia fans deal with his chokes, has helped Georgia fans have patience with him because he's building. Florida fans don't see the house being built. They don't want a guy who's going to develop players. They want a guy who's going to recruit in the I'll just say it, the best state for talent in the country. With Florida State down, with Miami down, Dan Mullen isn't recruiting worth a shit, and he's going to get fired for it, whether it's this year or next year. And that athletic director, that turncoat, that guy that left Mississippi State when he was given the keys to our kingdom and the number one spot in the Mississippi State world, he left for better things, even though he's a Mississippi State guy, a Mississippi State grad. He left, and then Coach Mullen, I hope they both get fired. Fuck them.
I love when you get passionate.
Fuck them.
Were you like a week or two ago saying that?
I love Dan Mullen. Yes.
Yeah, but to say if Mississippi State opened back up, you would take Dan Mullen.
In a
back.
Heartbeat. Yeah. In a heartbeat.
But you know what, there though? I'm going to give you this.
Yeah.
And we do so many dating analogies in sports because it is so easy. But Brandon's just going through it right now. He's down bad with a toxic ex he can't get away from.
I'm not down bad at all. I'm living my life.
He's nationally ranked.
No, right now you're – but I'm saying – no, I'm saying like the way that you feel about Dan Mullen is like half the time, like, you know, if you're in a desperate spot the way you were a few weeks ago, you're like, damn, I missed that toxic ex. He was really good for me. She was really good for me. And then a couple things happen. A couple things go wrong in the toxic ex relationship. You're a little bit on the hard. You're like, fuck him. I don't need him.
Well, there's also a little bit like, there's a little bit like, okay, well, he.
That didn't feel personal at all, did it?
All right. She left me for this hot guy. She left me a couple of years ago. And now that hot guy's treating her like shit. And I told her it was going to happen. I said, hey, you don't recruit, they're going to treat you like shit. You don't win, they're going to treat you like shit. I told you not to go to that guy. I told you that it was all it's not always greener. But off you went. Off you went. Oh, I'll just go down there and I'll do this. I'll wear my visor and I'll win. No. Your ass going to get fired.
Off, King.
So in the last four recruiting cycles, Georgia has signed 27 top 50 prospects. Alabama has signed 24.
Right.
LSU has signed 11.
Right.
Florida has signed four.
Four.
And
this is Florida.
Also, when you played NCAA football, did you also ignore recruiting or?
Fuck no. That was the best part of the game. Okay. Sometimes I would simulate the games just to recruit.
Okay.
I love recruiting. I could go in a living room and shake a guy's hand.
Yeah.
I was
a recruiting skipper.
I'd lie to him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I played the demo and like, oh, I'll deal with it after we won the Natty.
I think I would be such a good recruiter.
You skip recruiting? That was the best part of the game.
I know. It was like, for whatever reason, it didn't get me going.
Dan skipped recruiting with Doug's. I was like, well, that's the best part of the game.
Do you actually like Voices. Go into their living room? Like, can you imagine if they created a game like The Sims?
Where you walk in their living room?
You walk in and like, they, you know, they have their different houses and you get to like, that
do,
would be.
Do you, man, shake, where's your do you monkey? Shake your hand or you give them a hug?
Also,
is the pole assassin here?
By the way, that recruiting video is probably sent to every recruit that was either thinking about Florida or already committed there.
Listen, Kirby is whipping his ass on the recruiting trail, and that's what they care about more. In the SEC, they kind of care about recruiting more than the games. It's sick, it's weird, it's twisted, but it's kind of the truth. And
Dan Mullen can't keep his own foot out of his mouth.
Also, you're right, you can't be an SEC coach and like
and say bad things about recruiting. Yeah. It's a $1 billion business down there. He's going to get fired this year or next. Then he'll go to a TCU. He'll go to an Iowa State. He'll go to a Northwestern. He'll go to somewhere middling, like Mississippi State, and just be great.
Yeah.
He'll be great.
Because that's a school where you can kind of ignore recruiting.
That's a school where you're going to get the kind of guys that you can develop into.
Yeah,
and you're going to get the patience to do it your way. Yeah. And his way works. Yeah. His way does work.
He's not at Florida.
What happened to your theory that he's going to save his job by Todd Monken being fired and then he'll be on the hot seat for next year?
Todd Grantham.
Grantham, Monken, same thing.
No. Not even.
I know they're not.
She made a mistake. Coach.
You know what I mean.
Just like you left
I think
Michigan
he's going
out.
To sacrifice Todd Graham and his offensive line coach, John Hevesy. I think he's going to sacrifice him. He's going to try. But it's getting – now, the best thing he's got in the world is his schedule because he's 4-4 now, but it's all sunshine and roses from here on out. I think he's got Vanderbilt, Missouri perhaps.
I think they've already played Vandy, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, he has played. But I think it's all easy from
here on
out.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. He's got Florida State.
I mean, they played a really tough schedule.
So he's got South Carolina this weekend. Yeah, he's got Missouri.
Probably has like a Charles
Southern. He's got
Southern
an FCS team, and he's got Florida State.
Yeah, South Carolina, Samford, Missouri, Florida State.
Bless if he loses any of those games, he could get fired. I don't think he will. He also not starting Anthony Richardson until he played the best defense in the last 30 years is mind-boggling to
me. We talked about that on Sunday, and it really resonated when like you think about the fact that it's not like, you know, he's a guy like, okay, you know, we'll see what he decides to do with quarterbacks. He's been quite literally named like the quarterback whisperer. Right. He's this guy. And our dumbasses sitting in New York in our pajamas on Sunday morning are like, what the fuck has he been thinking? And he's just, I mean, he's been named the quarterback guy his entire career.
Yep.
All right. Prescott. Oh, speaking of Dak. Now, obviously, Dak he's in the MVP race right now.
What are we speaking
of?
No.
The Dallas Cowboys this year. I mean, side note.
They're good.
They're so fucking good.
They're good. Yeah.
You can, I mean, he is the most important part of that team, no doubt.
Yeah.
But they just proved that you can just kind of let him rest.
Well, I played the Vikings too.
Still.
Yeah.
Still, that team's fucking good.
Yeah, they're good. I think they could win the Super Bowl. All right. Next, please.
Speaking of coaches saying bad things.
This was weird.
Oh, yeah, this isn't good.
This was weird. Okay.
Yeah, this is.
All right. Here we go.
This is.
Washington coach Jimmy Lake, which I don't know why that sentence is a thing. That guy has just destroyed that program, and like, they're not good. He's not a good coach. Takes over for Chris Peterson a couple years ago, and Washington has basically disappeared from the college football map. All right, he was asked today for Oregon is a recruiting rival. First of all, they better be. If they're not a recruiting rival, then what the fuck are you doing as the Washington head coach? Because
yeah.
Oregon is a power on the West Coast. If you're not recruiting rivals with the other powers, you're not trying to be a power.
No, well, yeah. Well, the reason for that is because he had a little snideness to him, a little, we're better than Oregon because of the academics.
Well, yeah. I was going to get to the quote.
You've never ruined my point before. You've never, in the middle of my sentence.
No,
been
I
like,
can ruin my point, but I'm going to say.
Hey.
You know what? Jimmy Lake, go ahead.
I'm going to say what he said.
Okay.
Do you want to read it since
no, you want to talk so fucking bad?
No, I want Jack to read it.
No, you're going to read it, and then you're going
JD
to make
Oxford, you'll get shot three times, so you don't put your guns up.
And then and then you're going to read it.
Jimmy Lake was asked.
Wait.
I hate that guy on YouTube. This guy,
the president of Oregon. That's the dorkiest looking dork I've ever seen.
That's like Dilbert. He looks like Dilbert.
Coke bottle glasses.
No offense to Michael Schill.
Oh, my
bless
God.
You. He looks like the banker that you walk in and try to avoid because you know he's going to try
to
upsell
you.
Oh,
fuck, not this
guy. Side note, Jack, while you're making notes over there, I absolutely must have the gif of Katie when we're all doing this and she just goes.
Okay, yeah.
Washington coach Jimmy Lake asked today if Oregon is a recruiting rival. That is way more pumped up than it is. Our battles are really the schools that we go against have academic prowess, like the University of Washington, Notre Dame, Stanford, USC.
We go with
a lot of battles, toe-to-toe, all the way to the end with those schools. So I think that's made up and pumped up in the media's world. In our world, we battle more academically prowess teams.
Duke
First of all,
then?
What a way to botch that last phrase, more academically prowess teams.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Lake... I know it's more passionate than the SEC. Everything I just said is also true anywhere in the college football world. You are not hired to get good students. You're just not. You're not hired. You are not a professor. If a professor of science said this, that makes a lot of sense. They're battling for the good science students. You're fighting for football players. You're fighting. I guarantee you Mario Cristobal isn't worried about the academic standing of the teams he's facing in recruiting. He's worried about getting a guy that runs a 4.4 and is 6'4", 240.
You think Brian Kelly gives a lovely motherfuck about somebody going to poli sci?
This is just so...
That was good. I think they do, though.
They do care about it more at those schools, but I promise you, your job is to get football players first and foremost. You cannot say to your football fans who buy your football tickets, hey, I don't consider Oregon a rival. First of all, you're shitting on them because they consider Oregon a huge rival. And if you're not considering them that, then you're not in line with your fans. And I'm sorry,
But
in a football battle, who has the best grades in chemistry doesn't
if
matter.
I was a Washington no, booster, though, I wouldn't mind this comment.
They just need to be academically eligible. It doesn't really matter past that.
Oregon President Michael Schill, who I hate, says, UW is a wonderful school with a great football history. I have great respect and affection for its president, its academic and football program, and its former exceptional football coach, Coach Peterson. I look forward to our team meeting theirs on the gridiron this Saturday. Well, that was just a little bitchy thing to say, wasn't it?
I
have respect for their former coach, but fuck their current guy. That's fair enough.
And people Betty. Did love Coach Peterson.
Yeah, everybody, yeah.
Oh, by the way, every time I go to say Chris Peterson, I get really scared. I'm going to say Scott Peterson.
Think he'll ever come back?
Scott Peterson? I don't know.
No. Chris.
Oh, yeah, I think he'll he's too good a coach not to.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be a name that will pop Scott, up and be like, oh, he's coming back.
I think he'll, like, it'll be like 3 years down the line we will have forgotten about him. And then, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I could also see, I see him, like, taking Boise again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something
else.
Because Boise's, like, on hard times now.
Yeah,
like,
they're starting
to go down for the first time in 20 years.
I what about him beating BYU?
I thought we were going back.
They beat BYU, but they've been awful.
Did they beat Colorado State this weekend, or did they lose?
They lost, didn't they?
They lost.
I don't know.
I feel like they lost. It's
just Boise.
Right. I think we can all agree, though, that this Michael Schill character is a square.
Dork.
He's a square. An L7 weenie.
Keep going.
That's it for the major news.
Oh.
Shit.
Well, now we got to talk about Jack.
An hour and a half into this thing.
Jack pissing off everybody on.
Oh, Coach O.
Yeah.
That clip was unbelievable.
Which one was it? Was that him saying that we suck?
Yeah. People got so mad about that on me on Instagram. So
I'm going to go read the
Coach
DM.
Coach O. Yeah, yeah. No, you can go to the comment. The comment section is the best part.
Okay.
Can I play it? Or?
It's a long clip, but much. What happens is he gets asked about, on your bye week, you spent a lot of time scouting. And the guy who asked him it was talking about LSU. But Coach O goes like, oh, no, Alabama's a great team. I mean, they're amazing. He laughs. And he's like, right. And then the reporter goes, hey, Coach O, like we were talking about, no, you guys. And then he just lists off everything wrong about his offense and defense. Now I get it. He's being honest about his team and – it's not like he's saying it was actually like they actually suck.
He also doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck anymore. And it was just like this clip. Man. He just did 50 seconds on how his defense is too predictable. His offense doesn't come out in the right sets on first downs. He keeps going and going and going.
I love that he's a head coach and he's complaining.
I know. That's also it. And then people were like, unbelievable that you said something like this. This is out of context. Fake news. Blah, 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 blah. Guys, like, it's like it was in this like, yeah, I played it up a little bit. He didn't say exactly, we suck, but people were like, Jack, this page is full.
LSU fans, you got to be quit being so sensitive. Yes, Jack stinks.
I don't know who runs this page, if it's Jack or what, but either y'all are huge LSU haters or Coach O haters, but good Lord, some of y'all's posts are horrendous on here.
I mean,
crazy to have a quote that is blatantly incorrect in the same post as a video you're quoting. Oh, you put, oh, us, we suck in quotes, but he didn't say that.
Yes.
Why? He just didn't say it. Oh, my God. This is so fucking funny.
Okay. All right. What else?
Which is all comments like that.
Let's look. The app is live now in Iowa, the state of Iowa. We are now live in 10 states. The Barstool Sportsbook, 10 states now in Iowa. So if you are in Iowa or an Iowa State fan, you can now bet
college football. There's a great promo.
On the Barstool Sportsbook. I'm not aware of the promo, if Katie wants to say it.
Basically, if you bet on Iowa or Iowa State, the odds are boosted. I think that they're both roughly minus 110, and I think one's plus 200, one's plus 220.
So they take on the spread. So the juice. So like if you want to take Iowa State minus the points this weekend in Iowa, you can get them instead of laying 110 to win 100. It's you lay 100, and then your return would be 200 to 220, which is, I mean, unheard of. That's a great deal.
And I was playing Northwestern, so that's
Yeah.
All right. Do you have the slate pulled up that we can go ahead?
There's only one game that really sticks out.
Well, there's Auburn A&M. That's the only game that sticks out for you.
Yes.
No, he has possibly his biggest game this weekend.
Well, Liberty Ole Miss.
Guys, no,
guys, what are we doing here?
Come on, we need to know this. This is a Brandon Walker weekend.
Yeah. Liberty Ole Miss game.
No, this is a personal game for Brandon.
The jukebox man.
Yeah. Oh.
Stay puffed. Fatty fat fat.
You care more about that than Liberty Ole Miss?
Yeah. Oh. They put him in the video.
Chris, what you talking about? They put me in the video.
The Arkansas fans are like,
oh,
probably.
I know.
Arkansas fans are the worst people we have to deal with. Now, I'm a little nervous. I do think we're probably going to lose. Like, I really do. I think.
Book it.
I do. I'm honest, if not anything. I'm always honest.
Oh, can you do me a favor while I'm thinking about this? So I got the list of the games we're talking about for the college football show tomorrow.
Right.
That one is not on it. We need to find a way for you to work that in so they can play that video.
All right, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Figure that out. Yeah, but we got that one, and then you guys got Auburn. It's interesting. I think A&M and Auburn are two very even teams.
It's the Braves.
I think, the Braves just scored.
Maybe a home run.
Check me the score.
I think it was 0-0.
Can I say something that, and obviously this is the biggest game of the week, and I know College Game Day decided not to go. They're going to Cincy. How I know how big our show is getting, the amount, I don't know if you saw it as much, but I know Katie probably.
3-0. Oh, 3-0. Braves.
Wow. I know Katie probably was getting the notifications a lot. There were so many people, both A&M and Auburn fans, clamoring for the Barstool College Football Show to come to College Station.
I did see that.
Like, pitching. Like, hey, see if you guys come do this and do that. And, like, Billy Lucci eventually weighed in and was like, I think they can only come to states where sports gambling is legal and their app is legal.
We can't. I mean, we're
and that Brandon Walker was, approves.
That was our theme this year, yeah.
Yes, but it felt so good because it was just like, oh, fuck College Game Day. They're not going to – they snubbed us. Barstool won't. And it's like, well, we're going to be in New York. But
also
you're not snubbing them, though.
Just on a personal level. We've seen Dan walk out of Wisconsin. We've seen Dave walk out at Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah.
I know that I thought about it a lot. Have you just thought about being able to walk out in College Station, me being able to walk out and start? Well, that would be fucking awesome.
It'd be awesome, yeah.
I would love to do that.
I would love to do that. Maybe Mincy walking out in Oxford. I would love to do that. I can't think of what school would hate me walking out the most.
Texas?
Texas?
I don't think it would be Texas.
Why wouldn't it be?
I guess.
You know you'd wear ugly maroon.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Baylor. Especially.
Oh, I've also envisioned Oxford.
I've envisioned.
Just walking out and doing this number.
Oh, well, the Dave Portnoy was just full, like.
I kind of hated the way he did that. Because it took
that was awesome.
That's my idea. Like, he did it in a very WWE Vince McMahon way. Like he walked out and looked around and then just came from here and did this.
I mean, it was a full wind-up. Right, it really was. But no, beside the point, I thought that was really cool just to see because it is the biggest game of the week. And they were like, well, why isn't Barstool College Football coming? I'm like, that's how you know we're taking over, baby. This game terrifies me.
It ought to. Auburn's good. When they went to Arkansas, Arkansas's not a bad team. When they went to Arkansas and won by 15, I was like, oh, okay. They're good.
The only thing that doesn't terrify me, or it makes it a little bit less, is I do think, you know, and obviously if you followed A&M for a long time, especially like growing up in the 90s, it was like, oh, the wrecking crew. This defense has glimpses of the old school wrecking crew.
You will be the best defense they've played outside of Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. And Bo Nix, while we said he is Brian Harsin has let him go where Gus Malzahn was trying to, you know, to keep him in a box or whatever else. I think A&M's defense is better, but boy, Auburn scares me.
Well, here's the thing. Auburn, we talk about Bo Nix, but their strength is Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter, the running backs. And that, you guys don't give up running
at
all. Like, we were perfectly matched up to beat you guys because we throw it. And Auburn can't do that. So I think you guys are going to win.
Well, and we have A-Chain and Spiller.
I think A&M has the best two running backs in the country. And not the best two, but the best pair. A lot of people say Michigan. A lot of people say
Master Teague and Trevion Anderson.
And even Mayon Williams at Ohio State's a third grade one, too. Yeah, but yeah. I still think, talent-wise, I think A-Chain and Spiller
are
right
there.
Yeah,
I mean, right it's It's they're interchangeable. It's if you say they're the best, I'm not gonna squash grapes.
I don't even. Let's just go through the slate real quick. If you got it up,
You said it over. One of your best points this past weekend was like we talk about Tennessee and how poorly does this reflect on Jeremy Pruitt? Gus Malzahn. Yeah. Gus Malzahn's Brian Harsin came in and made that offense like last weekend.
They look
who
so
did Auburn
much-
play last weekend?
Oh, they beat
Ole Miss. Yeah. They scored like 20 or 8 or 31 points in the first half. Gus Malzahn like rarely got to those numbers.
They look so junior high with their motions and their little sugar huddles and everything under Gus Malzahn. Now they look like an organized professional offense.
And then Gus Malzahn's gone to the UCF with probably the most talented roster outside of Cincinnati in the AAC.
Well,
Yes, he tanked. Like, but with Dylan Gabriel still in, like, would they be this bad?
But still, I mean, they lost the Navy. They.
So on this slate,
they did beat
Temple. We say it a lot, but just when you think college football
bad
is not going to be accepted, bad slates,
something crazy,
great results. Right.
Yeah,
and
it would be crazy.
Days.
But I mean, Scott Frost could save his job forever this weekend.
Yeah, he could. And I don't think it's that crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy
either.
I like Ohio State.
Don't do this to yourself.
What am I doing? I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that crazy. Like, I think Nebraska
said
is.
Last week, you think Ohio State's going to murder Michigan and Michigan State.
I don't think Michigan and Michigan State are any good.
Well, Nebraska's not any
They're
good.
They're not any good. What are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. I said it's not that crazy. I think Nebraska has like one bullet
it's
in the chamber.
It's only 15.
I know. I think Nebraska has like one good solid bullet that they can maybe pick somebody else. I don't think they're going to beat them, but they can put a scare on them.
Okay, fair.
Okay, let's go back to the other ones because that's
easier. Yeah,
that's a lot easier on the eyes.
Again,
also number 9, I think is about to get beat. I think Wake Forest is going to lose at North Carolina.
The number has dropped, still 2.5, but
I mean they got to go to Chapel Hill to a rival to in their best season ever. This is a great North Carolina.
It's also something that technically this is a non-conference game, so Wake could still lose this and go to the championship.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? This is non-conference.
Yeah.
Say what?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's non-conference.
Who told y'all that? What's going on?
We've talked about it on 3 separate episodes.
Yeah.
This is a non-conference game.
The dumbest thing that's ever happened.
It's the dumbest college football thing of all time.
Yeah. I thought you guys were always joking.
No, they scheduled an out-of-conference game between two conference players.
Liberty
teams.
At Ole Miss. That's interesting. It'll be points, even though Ole Miss's offense isn't really as great as we think it is.
It'll be a test for Liberty's defense. They have high ranking.
I don't see the signs.
What signs?
The Hugh Freeze signs.
Oh, Ole Miss fans aren't clever. There won't be Hugh
Freeze
signs.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They can't wait to see that guy. They would take that guy back tomorrow. They worship that guy. They don't hate that guy.
You think they would take him back over Lane?
Over Lane, no. But if Lane left and they would – let me just tell you, if Lane takes LSU and Ole Miss comes open, there will be at least a 2-day period where we're discussing heavily Hugh Freeze returning to Oxford.
Wow, a Hugh Freeze.
They're the
Lane
only team
Kiffin.
That would be morally bankrupt enough to take that guy in the SEC.
All right.
Tennessee didn't do it. Auburn wouldn't do it. They would do it. All right, go down. Michigan State, Purdue. Listen. Just the biggest letdown spot in the history of letdown spots for Michigan State. And Purdue has already beaten one number two. Purdue has this knack for beating top 5 teams. What an incredible spot right here.
Here's my question. Do you think that Iowa is comparable to Michigan State?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Michigan State deserves to be ranked where they are.
Yes.
Michigan probably deserves to be ranked where they are. But the world still exists where they're not that good. Like, we still don't know. Their only comparison so far is against each other. What are you doing? No, don't write that shit. I'm not. What are you? You think by writing credit to Michigan State, that's more clever than saying it?
Well, I didn't say it. You said it.
All right.
It is only Michigan State -3.
Yeah. No, it's a letdown spot.
Why is game day going to Tulsa, Cincinnati? Just to give Cincinnati some love?
Just to pet Cincinnati on the head and say it's okay.
Probably because they couldn't go to A&M.
Going down.
Yeah, the committee gave them the rankings early, and it's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, I might as well go see them. Us at Arkansas is a big game for me. I'm just getting ahead of it.
You skipped past.
What did I skip past?
Because we talked about it? Or?
Oh.
We already talked about it.
Okay.
Why would we keep talking about it? Go. We got to get out of here because I'm tired. Oh, LSU fucking Bama's this weekend. It doesn't matter.
Not even an
iota. No juice at all.
And it's the 7
Saban.
O'clock ESPN game.
Saban wants to.
You think he's about to.
Saban wants to beat.
Spank him on the way out.
Saban hasn't forgot about 2019.
No,
yeah,
that's all he thinks about.
So what's the spread on that?
27 last time I checked.
I mean, they
hammer
won
Alabama.
Danger. I think Kentucky's in danger against Tennessee.
Well, I mean, they looked like shit last week.
Kentucky hasn't beat Tennessee in. Or did they beat him last year?
Beat him last year.
But then before that, they
Oregon,
were like
Washington.
Yes, that's
Oregon,
a sneaky
Washington.
Game.
Washington stinks, though.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I mean, they beat Stanford last.
But everything for Oregon is now you got to watch it because you never know.
Indiana, Michigan. Michigan will kill them.
Texas, Iowa State is a game that would have had juice a month ago, but doesn't now.
Could South Carolina beat Florida?
In no way, shape, or form. Florida might be my lock tomorrow. Florida might be my lock because Dan Mullen's got to bury this team.
What's that spread?
19.5. I'm telling you what it is. You can keep looking. It's 19.5.
It might have moved.
It's 19.5. I look at it all the time.
It's 18.
It's 19.5 in my mind and my heart. It's all that matters. I got to be honest.
What?
We got to get out of here. I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm ready to go.
I'm still sick,
This was fun, though.
And I think this is one of my favorite episodes we've done in a long time.
It was good. It was good energy. Okay, let's get out of here. That's college football. If we miss anything, sorry.
Suck our dicks.
What? No. No.
No, take that out. Take that out.
No, that's fine.
I'm not going to take it out.
No, take it out.
That's going to make even more effort. Come on. No, it's fine. She didn't mean that.
I definitely didn't mean it.
She was just playing.
If you want me to take it out, I'll take it out.
People couldn't find Brandon's.
Take that out.
What's going on here?
That's how no. I was just kidding. I was kidding. I was kidding.
All right, I'm taking it all out. We're not taking it
all. All right, good night to everyone, college football fans, and most importantly,
the alike,
the monkey.